Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. It's just you and me today because the internet was all abuzz last week about a Good Morning America health alert talking about infant mortality rates and BMI. So I want to talk about it. I want to dive on in. I want to talk about how the media misguides people with evidence. The way they state evidence is very misleading and further perpetuates this just inaccurate narrative that plus size people don't have healthy outcomes during pregnancy, which is not true. Yet the way they take studies and report on them often leads people feeling that way. And that happened just recently. I do want to give a content warning that when we talk about, you know, perinatal death, we're talking about stillbirth and that, loss immediately after birth. So this can be a very polarizing and triggering topic, which is, again, why it should be handled with such care, the utmost care. And so I want you to know that if this is not something you want to hear about, then that is totally fine. This might not be the right episode for you. Before you leave, I just want to reassure you that the risk is so incredibly low. It's there, but it is low. Okay, so if you're ready to dig into what we heard on the health alert, I will help unpack it for you. I will explain to you how we can talk about risks in a different way, which has been what we've been talking about on the show a lot. But I just really want to dedicate this episode, Jen jumping on her soapbox, to talk about what just recently happened. Because I woke up on Thursday to emails and Instagram messages of people upset and scared, really scared after hearing this Good Morning America news alert from Dr. Jen Ashton. So if you're ready, let's dive right in. Let me grab my notes here. So if you hear little paper rustling, that's me. I'm literally throwing this show together right away because I wanted to talk about it. I also created an Instagram reel and I'll play that audio for you. I don't have permission from Good Morning America to play the audio from their health alert clip, but I did write down word for word things that were said, and I'm going to read them to you, which is why I apologize if you hear some paper rustling in the background, but I will try to keep my hands steady. So to set the stage for you, let me turn my paper over here. If you watch right just before the 59-minute mark on the Good Morning America episode on Thursday, March 24th, they were highlighting for their health alert a new study that looked at pre-pregnancy body mass index with increased infant mortality rates. And this was, again, being discussed by ABC's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jen Ashton. So when they kicked things off, she briefly explained how people with a BMI between 25 and 29.9 are classified as overweight, and then obesity would be a BMI over 30. So this is what she said, and I'm using the exact words that she said right here. What this study found is that when women were in those categories before pregnancy, if they were overweight, they had a 22% increased risk perinatal death rate, again, for the infant. And if they were obese, that risk went up to 55%. So we're talking about stillbirth or risk right after delivery. And that's exactly what she said, word for word. So then, after that was said, she immediately went on to talk about all the risks. I don't even think she framed it as increased risk. She just said the risks during pregnancy, complications for obese women. And there was a graphic on the screen. And there was also a graphic when she said those statistics that are very polarizing, you know, a 22% increased risk, 55% increased risk. Those numbers are scary to hear. But then she went on to talk about the risks, including blood clots, gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, C-section, postpartum complications. Never once did Dr. Ashton say that these are risks that everyone faces during pregnancy, but only for people with a higher BMI, they have slightly increased risk. No, that was never said either. It was just kind of like, okay, here's this new study. Here's this shocking high rates, increased risk of perinatal death. And then here's all the risks that people face during pregnancy, stating that it's going to put the fetus and newborn at a much higher risk is what she said. Much higher risk. Yeah. And so then the news anchor says, well, you know, how can we lower the risk? And then Dr. Ashton immediately went into weight loss and recommended the use of FDA approved weight loss medications or bariatric surgery, that people should talk to their care providers about this. And then she made this kind of like placating statement where she was like, I think trying not to come across as fat phobic, but it, in my eyes, kind of felt even more so. And this was another quote. This is not a matter of willpower or focus, dedication or commitment. This is a medical risk, and obstetricians and midwives have to help women with this rather than just say, you know, this is a problem, you need to lose weight. And that was the health alert. It was basically like, you know, you're at a much greater risk. Here are all the risks. And you should go look into weight loss medication or bariatric surgery. Never once talking about the increased risks that people face with that and how there can be a longer wait to get pregnant after surgery, how malnourishment is a concern. You know, none of that, of course, was stated. There was just this focus. And so people were scared. People were really, really scared. So I'd like to play for you now my response that I shared. I made an Instagram reel. And I launched it, this all happened on Thursday, a little busy week, so I launched it on Friday. I recorded it Thursday night, and it's, you know, reached over 35,000 people, and being launched on a weekend, I'd say that's pretty amazing. But here's what I had to say. And for anyone that doesn't know, I am a certified childbirth educator that has spent over a decade advocating for plus-size people during pregnancy. I have collaborated with the National Institutes of Health on the Pregnancy for Everybody initiative. I'm not just, and I think we need so many advocates, but I'm not just an advocate. I have truly spent a lot of time becoming educated about supporting plus-size people during pregnancy and have done a lot of work doing that. So I just kind of want to give that context for anyone that isn't aware that this is what I do. So here we go. If you saw this news report on Good Morning America and it scared you, especially if you're pregnant, I'm really sorry. This was lazy and irresponsible news reporting, but it's routine in the media. They love to hype up relative risk. Relative risk is comparing the rate of someone's risk factor in a larger body compared to someone in a smaller body. That's not telling you your actual risk. Your actual risk is not 55%. 55% of people in larger bodies don't lose their babies. But that's the way this comes across. The risk factor is actually really small. And I'll show this graph here that even shows at a lower gestational age, the risk is about the same. And then it goes up near the end. But it's still minuscule. So the media needs to do better because we're scaring people. We're scaring people during pregnancy. And that is not okay. Do better. Do so much better. So yeah, media, do better. So as you heard, I was explaining the difference between relative risk and actual risk. And so relative risk is just comparing one rate to another. So when Dr. Ashton said, flipping my notes over here again, people who are categorized as overweight, according to the BMI, and we should do a whole nother episode talking about why the BMI is an outdated, inaccurate, calculation that was, you know, developed by a mathematician in the 1900s that for white men. Like, there's so many problems with it, yet it is still the standard used today in healthcare, in insurance, and try as we may to push back against it, it is still what is used. So when Dr. Ashton said that those who are categorized as overweight have a 22% increased risk and those who are categorized as obese have a 55% increased risk of perinatal death, she's accurate. She's not saying anything that isn't accurate, but what she's not explaining is that those numbers are comparing the risk factor of someone who exists in a body that has the, quote, normal BMI range. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. Let's pick Susie. We'll go with the name Susie. Susie has a BMI of 20. She's in the, quote, normal weight range. And then, Jane is in the obese range. She has a BMI of 40. So all we're doing is comparing Susie's rate of risk to Jane's rate of risk. That's it. We're comparing the two. From one to the another. We're not at all looking at their actual risk factor. That doesn't tell us what the person's actual risk is. All we're seeing is that, okay, well, Jane's got a higher risk than Susie. So when we actually dig in to this study and we actually dig in to most studies, when we look at relative risk compared to actual risk, we're looking at very small numbers. And so I just want to say in this study, and I encourage you to look at the link, dig into it. There were many different factors at play here. Not everyone had reported their BMI. They were pulling stats out for people who smoked, drank alcohol during pregnancy, which would give us higher risks of stillbirth. Like, there's a lot to unpack, and I am not a researcher. I'm a childbirth educator. I know how to read base studies, but I often hire a researcher to dig into things, to validate things before I will talk about new studies. So this is so quick and just happened that I hadn't had an opportunity to hire my researcher to go into it. But what I can tell you is that when we look at the figures and we look at the graphs provided, the risk is so, so much lower than we are led to believe when we're just hearing that relative risk. The actual risk is so much lower. So when we're looking at the results of perinatal mortality for someone who, exists in a normal rate, from looking here at the screen, that would be 0.5 risk. For someone in an overweight, that would be 1.22. And then for someone who is classified as obese, that's 1.55. So again, we're looking at very small increase risk. Let me read this in a way to you that might make more sense, because I realize I'm looking at a screen and reading things off. And again, there's a lot more to this study to unpack than just what I'm saying here. So I really want you to look at the actual link. But Dr. Sterling, an OBGYN who we just recently had on the show last week, I think our episode was, she commented on that Instagram reel, and I think she broke it down in a very easy to understand way with numbers that are actually really relative to the results of the study. So she said, what is the benefit of freaking people out like this? I'm so irritated. For anyone wondering, let's say the risk of perinatal death in the, quote, normal BMI population is 1%. That's not the actual number, but for this easy math. And let's say this news report is accurate, and she hasn't checked the citation herself, and it's 55% higher in those with a higher BMI. So you could say it like that, 50% higher, oh my, or you could say it like this. It's 1% versus 1.55%. Both are true, but one gives much needed context and the other doesn't. So I hope you can see when we look at the risk being low and you know, any amount of loss, absolutely, it is tragic. And it is hard to know that there are some increased risks when you exist in a larger body. But I always like to say, let's use that information to feel empowered, because we know we can reduce our risks even further with, nutrition, exercise. You know, there's so many great studies that just, you know, taking a short walk can have so many benefits during pregnancy. Like, there are very small things that we can do that can have a big impact in reducing our overall risk. So it's also individualized as well. But to say 55% increased risk for perinatal death in a quick news report, I think is pretty irresponsible, because it leaves people terrified. And we also know the impacts that stress can have during pregnancy that are negative. So I want to dig into a study on stillbirth increased risk for people with a higher BMI that I hired a researcher to dig into, so I feel more confident and comfortable talking about these numbers. And I will also include this article at plusmommy.com. But just to, and again, give an example of the actual numbers, the increased risk, and looking at the difference when we talk about relative risk and actual risk. So, and again, this is stillbirth, so any amount of loss is absolutely tragic and heartbreaking, and we do have increased risk, but what does that really mean? So when we look at someone who is in the, quote, normal BMI range, they have, we can break this down to 4 stillbirths per 1,000 pregnancies, and we can also say that's the risk is 0.4%. Now, if we look at someone who exists in the obese category, their risk is 7 stillbirths per 1,000 pregnancies. And we can also look at that as 0.7. So we're literally comparing 0.4 to 0.7. So yes, 7 is much greater than 4. So we can see how that is a much greater risk if we're just looking at the difference between 4 and 7. But when we look at the actual risk, we're looking at 0.4% to 0.7%. And if, you know, I have a 93% odds of not having a stillbirth, and again, that is not fixed. There are many different things that can go into play to increase your risk even further or reduce your risk. But like 93, I'm really liking those odds. And if we see a lot more care providers talking about induction for people who are at a high BMI because of increased risk of stillbirth and other increased risks. And if you decide in conversation with your care provider and doing, evidence-based research that is too much and you want to have an induction, I 1,000% support your decision. I am not providing medical advice or telling people what to do. I just firmly believe that people aren't receiving full informed consent when they're just being told your risk is much higher. When you're just being told, as Dr. Ashton said here on this piece of paper, you know, you're at a, your risk goes up to 55% for the loss of your baby. Yeah. I can see why so many people would be like, absolutely, I induce me tomorrow. But what she didn't talk about in that study also that I shared briefly on that reel was that at a lower gestational age, the risk was pretty relative. It was pretty much the same. And then it went up at the end of pregnancy. So I just think we're going to see more and more care providers recommending induction because there is an increased risk. Absolutely, that is factual. But the risk itself is very low. So that is, how do we get the media to talk about risks, increased risks, in a way that isn't so polarizing and terrifying? You know, it feels like, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, is like the media and the news, and it can just be just so heart-wrenching to watch these news reports, especially for people during pregnancy or those who are trying to conceive. And I did get so many responses on that reel that I shared on Instagram that I want to read a few more with you, because people, you know, commented, "I'm scared." There were stories shared, you know, "For my second baby at the ultrasound, my doctor literally told me I could have a stillbirth because of my body weight and then continued to scare me during the ultrasound, even though the baby was healthy all through pregnancy. Currently on my third pregnancy and still overweight. And let's just say it's not easy, especially when trying for a vaginal birth after two cesareans." Someone else shared, "Because of my weight, I was told 2 weeks before I was due, if I didn't induce, I ran the risk of stillbirth. Pushed induction, so I caved and induced at 40 weeks. Meanwhile, I passed my glucose tests with flying colors. Every lab was pristine, but okay. I had zero complications. My daughter was born with zero issues. Is perfect. It's disgusting how they let BMI overrule so many things." And what I'm not hearing in these stories is that their care provider didn't say everyone has a risk of stillbirth, because everyone does during pregnancy. This is not just something that people in larger bodies face, clearly, obviously. But that is the way we're made to feel, like, oh, all these things will happen to you because you exist in a larger body. And just like Dr. Sterling did such a good job of explaining how we can look at that evidence and how, you know, we can say, yes, it is much greater, but when we actually look at the numbers, it's more reassuring, gives you more context. Someone else commented and said, "This is similar to the risk of birth defects when a pregnant person is taking an antidepressant like Zoloft. The base risk of a birth defect for any pregnancy is something like 2%. Zoloft increases it to something near 3%, but that's certainly not the way it's presented." And, you know, other people having concerns about what this will mean, what this study will mean, and the context of it and how it's said. And they said, "I think one of the worst things about this is that people will use this, quote, data to be even more harsh and discriminatory towards bigger bodies, infertility, and pregnancy. It's hard enough as it is." And so, yeah, it's so frustrating. And clearly, we're not going to probably get the media to change things until we continue to speak out and hold people like Dr. Jen Ashton accountable for the information that they put out into the world and how they do it. So, you know, this work that I do of changing how people are treated during pregnancy when they are, you know, have a higher BMI, I've been at it for a decade. We're seeing, you know, inching baby little shifts, but those baby little shifts are empowering and inspiring and supporting, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So while you may think that just, you know, doing one tweet or calling someone out on Instagram isn't making a huge impact, I think it's making a bigger impact than we realize, right? Like, I can't call up Good Morning America and be like, do better, you know, report different, and then tomorrow Dr. Ashton will, because clearly she has a history of doing this, of when she talks and reports on BMI and people in larger bodies and studies. You know, we don't hear her sharing new reports showing better odds with fertility outcomes than people imagined. A new study that I'm going to be talking about soon on, should we even be testing people early for gestational diabetes, because we didn't see that made any improvements in their prenatal care long term and outcomes. So we got more on that coming soon. We don't hear those types of studies hyped up. No, we only hear perinatal death. It doesn't get more polarizing than that, right? So I think whenever possible, calling the media out, commenting when these articles are shared on social media, if you have the bandwidth to do it, because so often they're full of fat phobic comments. But the more voices we have saying, hey, we need to be talking about actual risks, I think that really trickles down from Instagram and Facebook and all these places down to behind closed doors in doctor's offices when, you know, Jane's being told her risk is so much greater to have a stillbirth than Jane can turn to her care provider and be like, I understand that, but what is my actual risk? And then if that care provider knows that information, they could be, your actual risk is 7%. And then Jane gets to decide what Jane wants to do for her pregnancy and her baby. And she should never be made to feel that because of a 7% risk or increased risk that she should have to induce if that's not what she wants. So I know I've thrown a lot of numbers and studies, which, you know, it is hard to talk about on a podcast. But I would like the takeaway to be, don't be scared. When you see health alerts like this, news reports like this, don't be scared. And just the way it's framed, like, I just feel like we need to hold people like Dr. Ashton accountable. Like, you can't just list out all these things, make it sound like it's only happening to people in larger bodies, and say, the magical solution to this is weight loss drugs or bariatric surgery. Like, I just think that's so irresponsible when we know that people can absolutely have a healthy pregnancy in a larger bodies. I fully believe that the response should be, you know, how can we help in reduce risk? To focus on overall wellness and health while trying to conceive and during pregnancy, right? Why don't we focus on that? Why don't we talk about health at every size and finding movement that feels joyful and unpacking diet culture and working on our overall health? That is what matters. That is important. And that's where we need to focus. And then during pregnancy, we need to stop scaring people. Like, just stress alone can cause so much damage and harm, especially during pregnancy, but even if you're not pregnant. And we're just scaring people. And we're also, again, like I said in the beginning, further perpetuating this false narrative about what it is like to be pregnant in a larger body. And that is causing so much societal harm that when someone does become pregnant, they're afraid to tell their loved ones. You know, they're afraid of the reaction they'll receive. What will people think when you post about it on social media? How sad is that for someone who's really excited to be pregnant? Possibly someone who's tried to get pregnant for a long time and then is pregnant. Like, every pregnancy that is joyful and that person does want to celebrate, it should be celebrated without the caveat of people saying, oh, well, you know, you might get gestational diabetes and you, well, you know, everyone might get gestational diabetes. And yes, there are increased risks, but they are very small. And the greatest risk percentage wise that we see is cesarean birth. And I've shared stories of people being told on their first prenatal visit that they should have a cesarean birth because of weight bias against people of size. There's no recommendation out there that says that someone should have a cesarean birth based only upon BMI. But we definitely hear it happening. We hear of more interventions, more scare tactics. So at the end of the day, whenever possible, connect with a size-friendly care provider. Ask those questions on your first prenatal visit. Do you have any special policies, procedures, not only in your office, but at my medical facility where I've chosen to give birth for people of size? Ask that at the first. Ask that, you know, throughout your pregnancy. Reiterate. Are you going to recommend an induction because of my BMI? You know, I think we need to continue to get more specific because people are feeling supported throughout their pregnancy, and then come nearing the end of pregnancy around 37 weeks, their induction is being scheduled. You know, like, hey, well, we're going to schedule your induction when you're 39 weeks. You're like, wait a minute. And again, if that's what you want, if you want the induction, I support you. But how are you making that decision? What information and conversations are you having with your care provider to have and make those decisions? And that if you're able to, at any point in your pregnancy, to switch care, the reality of that is very difficult. From personal experience, I did it 5 months into my pregnancy and I cried in my OB's office and like felt like I was apologizing. Like, I'm sorry. And it was hard, and I did it, and I had so much privilege with insurance to easily switch. But whenever possible, to connect with a size-friendly healthcare provider, and I have a free guide with tips on how to do that that I'll put in the show notes over at plusmommy.com. And then if you are unable to do that, then advocate for yourself. And that can be absolutely difficult too. So hard sometimes. But if you can, it can be really helpful when you're being told, okay, Jane, we're recommending this induction for you to use the BRAIN acronym. And I share it all the time on this podcast. So I'm sure people who listen often are like, here Jen goes with BRAIN. But I'm a certified childbirth educator and BRAIN acronym is one of our best friends. But asking if someone says, okay, Jane, I'm going to recommend an induction at 39 weeks. Then Jane can say, what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? Always listen to your intuition. What happens next, or if we do nothing? And I'll put that in the show notes as well. And by asking those questions and having that conversation, we're able to get more informed consent, which just means that we're becoming fully informed on all those things, risks, benefits, alternatives, and then we can give our consent or say, nope. You know, these as mentally competent adults, you don't have to do anything. But the minute a care provider says stillbirth, of course, that is terrifying. That is one of your worst nightmares during pregnancy, right? So I understand and respect people making whatever decision they feel is best. I just want you to know that the overall risk is very low. And I want you to focus on your overall health, especially during pregnancy, to help further reduce your risk of pregnancy complications. Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. Oh, wow. Yeah, this has just been something that I just wish there was a way to change in the media. Not just in the media, I look at like sites like the Mayo Clinic and other leading health organizations. And when you look at, you know, obesity and pregnancy, which I know we don't like the O word, but I've said it a lot this episode, sorry. But when we look at that online, we're just seeing relative risk, quote, after relative risk, the long list of all the increased risk during pregnancy. But these are risks everyone faces during pregnancy. We're just looking at that, you know, little bit of increased risk. And again, I think the focus should on how to reduce our risk should be on nutrition, physical activity, reducing stress. So not watching those GMA health reports, reducing stress, getting plenty of sleep, having a good vitamin and prenatal vitamin and routine, drinking lots of water, looking out for our mental health, our overall wellness, all these things that we should all be doing to the best of our abilities under sometimes really hard circumstances. There's a lot that we're up against of existing in larger bodies and trying to just access evidence-based information that doesn't make us feel like we can't have healthy outcomes, because I want you to hear and I want you to know that you absolutely can. And I hope for any care providers or any providers in any field that you're in listening, you know, use your clout and your privilege to stand up and speak up for people of size. Comment on the, you know, GMA's, Facebook page or Instagram post, like be like, do better. call Dr. Ashton out on Twitter. I know Crystal with the Big Sexy Chat podcast did that. And she was emailing me. She's one of the first emails I got, like, Jen, you're not going to believe this news report. So thank you, Crystal. But yeah, speak up if you feel comfortable. Don't feel that you have to. But if you can, you know, let's hold the media accountable for how they talk about, you know, the risks that people face during pregnancy and how they talk about all studies revolving around people in larger bodies. Because, like, the time for using shame and scare tactics against people of any size, really, but it's, you know, it's done. Like, let's end it. This is not helpful. We have plenty of studies to show that shame is not an effective tool. It does not should be used for behavioral modifications, quote unquote, there in an eye roll. But, like, because there's this assumption that, you know, people of size are just lazy, like all those stereotypes that we hear. But even if you are someone that lives a very sedentary life, you still deserve access to dignified healthcare. Okay, I shouldn't step off my soapbox, but I think I've made a lot of points here. I hope they were clear. I know it's hard to do numbers and all that stuff on while talking, and I hope I didn't mess anything up. So that's why I'm going to put the actual study linked over at plusmommy.com. I will put that stillbirth article. I will put an article on understanding the difference between relative and actual risk. I'll put a bunch of stuff over for you over on plusmommy.com. Let's continue to speak up. Let's continue to advocate for ourselves. Let's continue to be kind to ourselves. When you see something on the news that is really bothersome, you know that you can turn it off and walk away and go get some fresh air, go for a walk, you know, take a nice hot shower, read a book, make a cup of tea, whatever. Do something nice for yourself and don't allow that negativity to eat at you, because that's not helpful at all. And hold on to the truth that so many people can and do have healthy outcomes. And if you incur any risk during pregnancy, including stillbirth, that it can happen to people of all sizes. So please do not blame yourself. All right, my friends, take good care of yourselves. And until next time, goodbye.